Hey there. Welcome to our Live SaaS Academy MA session. We chat here with awesome experts on specific SaaS related topics to bring more value to SaaS community. Hopefully share some unique knowledge, especially today, because with me is Jordan, founder of Blueprint. And today we're going to show you how to ship great campaigns with ChatGPT. And we will be using Rewardful, one of our SaaS group brands, as an example. I asked Jordan what I need to know about Rewardful before before doing this, and he said nothing, and I'm a blank page. So I'll ask a lot of whys what's next. Before we go there, tell us a little bit about yourself and Blueprint, what you're actually doing there.
Yeah. Yeah, so thanks so much for having me. I run a company called Blueprint. I am the OG GTM engineer. I've been doing go-to-market engineering since, 2020. And what Blueprint is attempting to do for companies is to say, if you had unlimited amounts of time to write a perfect message, if the entire company could come together, your product, your engineering team, everyone, to write a message, even to a customer that you just won. So a customer where you have perfect insider baseball, what would you say to them? And my job is to help you craft that message and then reverse engineer the systems to be able to send a message like that at scale. So that's kind of the purpose of my, and you know, this differs a lot from a lot of like the go-to-market engineering stuff that people often sell, which is sort of, you know, that'll be some variation of like lead generation or a variation of like, we'll go enrich your CRM, et cetera. So I don't start from a tools place. I start from a value place and work backwards into the tools and processes to be able to scale something.
Okay. That sounds great. Yeah. Okay. I don't know how exactly we're going to do it. So walk me through.
Is your mic really low? I think your mic might be like super, the gain might be low.
Really? Wait, let's try like this. Is it better?
Could be.
Any better? Is this better?
I like how,
I'll be how, like a true MC.
Yeah. I like how I like, oh, your gain's low. And you're like, what if I talk like this? And I'm like, I don't think that's the.
I can you're get like, closer. Just,
yeah. Hello. That kind of cracked me up.
Let's see. Yeah, I'll improvise some kind of a stand for it because I don't have the stand. Okay.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, usually it's not the mic. It's like in your sound settings, you can jack up the gain on the microphone.
I've only been doing this for 2.5 years, so I obviously don't have a clue.
No, it's funny that you say that because this happens to me all the time. Mac OS like always like lowers the gain on my microphone. I'm like, I don't know why.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll figure it out. Hopefully everyone else can hear us. But yeah, I'm wondering if there is anybody who joined us from Europe because it's like 3 a.m. Great timing. But yeah, okay. Tell me a little bit more of like what you're planning to do today with Rewardful because you're doing this every week, if I'm not mistaken, with different brands, don't you?
Yeah, top 50 business Substack called The Cannonball. And so in like sort of less than 6 months, we've become on the top 50 list. And basically what we do is we'll take a random brand and we'll not only will we develop all of their sort of messaging stack, all the data stack, we often will go build code to go pull that information, structure it, and, you know, basically get close to shipping a campaign. And so this is sort of the power of AI. It's not that necessarily has the capability to write better messages or to find better data. Like, I think that the most interesting thing about AI is that it can rapidly take a good idea and help you ship a good idea and test it and basically see, hey, is this going to resonate with the market? Now, generally, it's a little bit of a parlor trick because we don't have folks from Rewardful on. So, you know, it's always helpful to have an expert. It's like, oh no, we don't do that or we don't do that. Cause it's just taking context from the website. Right. But yeah, so this is kind of the parlor trick here where it's like, all right, let's take a brand and then figure out what's a message that that, and I have sort of two variants of messages. I have a PQS, a paying qualified segment, or a PVP, a permissionless value prop. Now, the purpose of a PQS message, a paying qualified segment, is that we're going to use data to identify people that are in the exact situation that they need your product now. And the goal of that is to be able to articulate a problem so well, you don't have to personalize your way out of a bad targeting problem, right? Like, I don't have to say, hey, Anna, remember that one time that you hosted that one podcast and your microphone volume was down? Oh my God, we're the same person. Why don't you buy my B2B SaaS thing, right? It's like, that's like a personalized message, right? Like, certainly it talks about, you know, the I did listen to something because I knew your mic volume was low. But it has nothing to do with your problem. Like, it's just not relevant. And so let me give you an example because it's easier to talk in specifics. So one of my customers, I said, go interview your customers and figure out why they bought. And it turns out that one of the reasons they bought is they were switching from a legacy competitor because that legacy competitor had specifically a lot of vulnerabilities in the last 2 years. And as they dug, they found out that legacy competitor is just made by one dude. Like, it's just like a dude that, like, these like large organizations are just relying on software that just like one guy made. And so, like, when there's a vulnerability, that guy in his vacation home is like, oh man, I gotta go fix that thing. And so they, as they went down, they sort of realized, okay, great. So we went and we found all the people that use those competitors, and we did some fancy data science stuff to be able to do that. In this case, we could determine DNS records that basically said that you have that. So, like, for example, you can tell everyone that uses Outreach as a email tool because it's on their DNS record. They have to go point specific mail servers, and it's a disgustingly specific. But basically, we can go tell you, great, these are using the competitors. And also, in some cases, we actually can tell if you are subject to that vulnerability, like you haven't patched it. And so what a PQS message looks like is like, hey, Anna, are you sick of competitor, like this type of company's vulnerabilities? Like, they've had 5 over the last 2 years. You know, I don't know if you know this, but the reason that those things are vulnerable and the reason that there's so many problems is it's just maintained by one person. Our existing customers have said that they felt trapped when there were these vulnerabilities. Like, are you in the same situation? So it's just really describing the targeting back to you, right? This is why you're getting this message. Does this situation resonate with you? And it's always anchored against actual buying behavior. So I'm not like trying to invent some signal. I'm not saying, what if you could tell in the market that there were job hirings? And I'm not like, you know, I'm not trying to like beautiful mind this. I'm like saying, okay, let's go actually figure out why your customers bought, and then figure out what are the situations that they were in when they bought. How is that connected with the data? And then a PQS message is essentially being able to describe their situation to them. Now, there's another type of message, which is a PVP, a permissionless value prop. And what this looks like is it answers the question of what would it look like to send a message that is independently valuable to the person receiving it, almost something that they would pay to receive. And so let me give you an example for another client of mine. So they do construction document. They'll review your construction documents and tell you these are the things you should worry about, or these are the things you should consider, or here's how you should negotiate. And so what we're doing is we're looking at public data for city contracts. And it turns out in city contracts, they're the PDFs of the contract, and they're PDFs of something called spec sheets, which are just, they're both gigantic binders of like, here's everything that you need to know if you want to bid on this. Well, there's a gap between when you can basically ask questions of the architect for some period of time. And then there's a gap between when that question period ends and when bids must be submitted. So in that gap, you can ask no more questions. So if you have a question, if that closes on August 1st and it's August 30th, and you have to bid by August 30th, and you have a question that actually is material to how you will bid, you can't get an answer. So what we're doing is we're actually programmatically ingesting those documents. And then we're going to you, Anna, who maybe has not yet bid on this publicly, and saying, hey, you're a bricklayer, and here are the things as a bricklayer that you definitely are going to want to make sure if you bid on this public project, because they will materially impact your ability to make money on this project. Like, they require union labor. And so you're like, you're going to need that. They require a special cement, whatever it is, right? Here's the things that are actually super relevant to you that you would never be able to find in this Byzantine document. And I don't have to say anything about what the product does. I'm actually showcasing the best version of the product to you. I'm actually giving you the output permissionlessly. You have not signed up for anything. You don't even know about this company, but I'm giving you the benefits of the product because I have identified you in the wild as needing the benefits of that product.
Okay. So we're going to try that for Rewardful.
Yeah. That's the goal.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully they are watching. They are the ones that woke up at 3 a.m.
This like weird time, right? It's like this is the time that's like worst for everyone.
Right? Yeah. I mean, that's what you get when you're on different sides of the world. But okay, we're talking about Rewardful. Who doesn't know what Rewardful is? First of all, it's one of the brands that SaaS Group acquired a few years back. We love them. It's basically an affiliate marketing platform that is loved by a ton of bootstrap companies and, well, any companies really out there. We've got a ton of use cases. But yeah, to be honest, I think they're doing a hell of a job. And I think they're pretty clear with what it is and who it's for. But let's see what we can do for them if there is some hidden gem that we're missing.
Let's sort of take a look. And you're right, it always makes sense to sort of go over what a company does. So it's an all-in-one affiliate management software, and so you basically want to figure out, like, and actually, oh, it's funny, I'm actually getting paid by Rewardful right now. I'm a Clay affiliate, and so it's like, so thanks Rewardful for sending me money via PayPal. I appreciate you. Yeah. I'm earning that money right now. So basically, it's like, how can we find people that sort of need an affiliate program? And it's really helpful to just have this in our mind ahead of time, which is like, okay, like, what are the useful features? Okay, coupon code tracking, referrals from influencers, right? So if you're running campaigns, this is probably pretty important to you. I do get paid via PayPal, so that's really nice. Automated refund handling. So this is actually, when I look at these, I'm trying to figure out what is the opposite of that thing. Like, how can we find people that are in pain, right? What is the opposite of refund handling, right? Where are cases where people need to basically reverse into a transaction because a customer has canceled or whatever, right? Live customer support, one-click iteration, these aren't really useful for that. First or last touch attribution. So this is actually interesting, which is like, how do you determine what to pay? I always think about that honey. Do you remember the honey scandal, that Chrome extension? Oh, that was crazy. Basically, the Chrome extension was like stealing people's affiliates by like adding honey as the last affiliate, no matter where they came from. And so it was like, pretty sneaky. So that's kind of what they do. So what we're going to do is I've got this like super secret cloud project that we're going to run them through.
Yeah.
And you'll kind of see how it works. So basically, I've got a bunch of my own secret prompts here that will give some context to the model. I always do extended thinking, and I usually do a style explanatory. There is a chance that Claude is going to run out of context. So I'm going to do a little ChatGPT talking while that happens so that we can... like this is backup model. So I'm going to talk to the model here. I'm going to use a tool called Super Whisper. Mm-hmm. All right. What I want you to do is I want you to go understand absolutely everything about this company's ideal customer profile. This should be a complete dossier that a chief revenue officer would need to be able to understand who they sell to, the benefit that they provide their customers. I want case studies, specifically with as much quotes as possible. What are the cases where people need a Rewardful absolutely right now, where it is most painful, where the incumbent solution or even there's like a lack of a incumbent solution. So I want you to spend an ungodly amount of time researching this to create a single document that will be everything that a Rewardful CRO would need to be able to go to market. And then this is just a backup in case sort of Claude shits the bed on us, which it does sometimes, right? Like Claude's still waiting here.
Yeah.
And what we're going to do is
the amount of time.
Yeah.
Be thorough. I once had an experience with ChatGPT where it took it every day it would do a part of what I needed to do. And it took 12 days. to finish the job. And I was like, what is that? I mean, I needed some really thorough research, like some pulling data. I don't know.
It took 12. Wait, like it would just wake up in the morning and do more work for you later? What? I've never.
Yeah, yeah. It would give me a chunk and say, okay, are you happy? And I'm like, yeah, yeah, I'm happy with it. Let's do the other one. And it would say, okay, I need another 8 hours. And I'm like, it's a work day. Is it like,
no,
is it ChatGPT or is it that, you know, studio?
No, ChatGPT gaslit you. It gaslit you. Like you shouldn't have waited. Like you should say, just do it now. And it would have been like, all right, I'm on it. Yeah, do it. Yeah.
Do it fast.
I that's such a sweet story because you're like, I understand ChatGPT. Yeah, like I'll just wait. It's like it's not like, God, can I get a smoke break?
Nice.
You were so patient with it. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, I'm on a lunch break, Anna. I'm sorry.
And you're like, I like how you're just like, I understand. Yeah, yeah. It's like, take your time.
I know nothing. It's like, it was telling me, you know, it's very meticulous process, and I'm like, okay, it makes sense.
Maybe. It makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Don't let the AI gaslight you. Like, yeah, that's exactly.
It would probably take me 12 days to do it. So I was like, okay, that's about the timeline.
that is really, I've heard like a lot of AI stories, but that is the sweetest AI story that I've ever heard. Like, I can see, like, you're like, I'm gonna go ahead and make a call to Sam Altman and be like, Mr. Altman, your GPT agent is taking 12 days and I'm happy to wait. I'd love to wait, but it yes. seems a little bit longer than what I've been promised.
I'm that person who always says please and, you know.
Thank you. Oh yeah, ChatGPT is like, please and thank you is costing us millions of dollars. And like Sam Altman's like, it's just Anna. It's like Anna specifically.
And that's why he slowed it down for me.
Yeah, yeah. I saw Sam Altman on the street and he's like, dude, do you have a buck? I'm like, you're a billionaire, like, right? Like, and he's like, yeah, that Anna really just like pushed it over the edge for me. Okay, great. So we've got some ICP information here, the industries they serve, the company scale and indicators. So 500K to 10 million ARR. Oh, okay. For payments, have 1 to 2 marketing teams. So these are basically like super lean marketing teams. That's very helpful. Great. And so now what, after it's like done the ICP, I'm like, go look at data sources that would be super valuable. So Stripe apps, marketplace listings. So who's already using Stripe, who might need affiliate tracking, Product Hunt lunches, G2 Capterra listings, maybe. These are not like amazing. AppSumo lifetime deal platform listings is kind of interesting, right? These are folks that might actually, they're testing alternative distribution channels. So you might actually use Rewardful when you're about to go test sort of new channels.
I just ask one question?
Please.
Very, very kind of noob question maybe, but how do you know this? It's true, basically. Well, how do you know it's not hallucinating?
Well, it does go.
Yeah.
I mean, like you're absolutely right. I don't. It's that we looked at their website, like this tracks with the 10 seconds of context that I have about Rewardful. But this is why it's really important to, if you're shipping this stuff, to have an expert. Mm-hmm. To be like, oh, actually, and by the way, this is what's on their website, right? And like everyone knows that their website is always out of date. So it's like Rewardful may actually go target, you know, they may actually want to target different people. But what's more important is not the output, it's actually the process that we're going through, because the process won't change. The inputs will change, which will improve the output, but the process is always sort of the same here. And so that's the kind of key here. It's process over prompts.
Have you ever had a situation when you were working with a client and presented a campaign to them and they're like, wait, we don't do toilet seat warmers?
Like, that's actually the opposite happens, where people are like, that's amazing. Can you do that? I'm like, I got no idea. Like, the model made it up. Like, they're like, usually it actually is really, really good. And the company's like, this is great. It's like, can you do this? And it's like, I got no idea, but like, hire me and I'll figure out something if it's not this. Mm. Like, and like, I don't think there's ever really been there are plenty of times where I will go into a vibe coded proposal, which is sort of what this is. And I'll be like, ooh, there's a lot more nuance in how this actually gets done. And so that's for sure happened where it's like, oh man, and you run into roadblocks. But I can almost always get around those roadblocks.
Okay.
So the spreadsheet breaking point, your affiliate Excel, notice you're hiring a commission analysis, running affiliate partnership, that Excel file must be getting painful by now. So again, this is just describing their situation. This is not amazing, right? Like anything that relies on like just job description data is just not like really fantastic. It's so hard to tell. Product hunt launch. This again is hard to tell because they're launching product hunt. Great. But I have no idea how that relates to their affiliate program. Ooh, actually this is really cool. So Calendly plays 30% recurring. So what you can do is you can go find people that have referral programs and compare the market and say, yo, your affiliate program is actually, it pays worse than your competitors. And here's what all of your competitors are charging. And so here's actually what you should be doing to offer your affiliates. Like you should be changing your affiliate program. So this does sort of count as a PvP message because it is independently useful to you to know what other people in your niche are providing for their affiliate programs.
Yeah. Competitors not very happy about this stuff.
Okay. This is actually really cool. 12 people selling you for free. Found 12 content creators recommend your product in the last 60 days without affiliate relationship. So these are actual, I mean, this is fictional, but like these would be examples of like reviews that have featured you twice that have. So basically this is the untapped marketing potential that you can provide. And again, remember, this is a cold message that they could send. So this is like actually finding people that love the product that that aren't, you know, with a company that doesn't have a referral program. So basically we can go to them and say, you have an untapped marketing opportunity here with people that already love your product. And actually, it's kind of funny. I know an exact company that might be in this situation. And so we're going to do a little like deep research to see if we can make a message like this.
Yeah. That one is really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. The reviews, you probably shouldn't like anchor against G2 because like their traffic is sort of tanking hardcore. It's like G2 and Gartner are having some problems right now. So we're not going to do that. Based on your, no, that's boring. Basically, this is like, hey, here's how much you could make. Well, that's not a true PvP. 200 monthly installs. Affiliate tracking. Not interesting. So of all the ones that we sort of, 7 partners. Oh, yeah. This top affiliate is scheduling. Oh, this is actually interesting. I wonder if there might be a world where we could go find your competitor's top affiliates and see if you could poach them. That would be crazy. Ooh. I bet you that you can tell that. Okay, so we have
For those that are only listen, can you go through this one a little bit more?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Sorry. Why are you only listening? Come view that. Sorry. Okay, so this is a play that is the partnership channel diagnostic. 7 partners worth 340K ARR. Analyze your partnership opportunities across 4 data sources. ConvertKit's top affiliates. Email Mike, seek scheduling tool partnership, your category. His audience converts at 4.2%. Your competitor Calendar Pro plays 30% recurring versus yours at 25%. Marketing Consulting Network, it's just making these things up, right? Has 47 members without scheduling affiliate relationships. And so this then calculates what the possible ARR opportunity is if you can go convert those exact opportunities. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do here is we're just going to copy and we're going to drop this into ChatGPT. And have it go see if we can find actual real customers that are in these situations. So hopefully we'll be able to find some good customers here. So I'm going to talk to AI. Okay, I think the most interesting of these types of PvP plays are the ones where we're trying to identify existing customers that are referring, but where the company doesn't have a referral plan. And the competitor affiliate intelligence is actually super interesting. And then if we could actually go poach other competitors, that would be really, really helpful. I don't actually know how to go about this. So now that you know my intentions and you have all this context, all I want you to do is write me a really, really good prompt that will go try to find companies in this scenario, along with all associated data that we would actually need to be able to compose these messages.
So what I want you to do is take all this context and don't actually go execute it. Just write the prompt for me. So this is what I call the meta prompt process. So it's like, this is like, it's too complex for me to think of a prompt, but like, yo, GPT, like you could think of a prompt, you know, meanwhile, exactly. I'm like, yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, you're like, I'll wait. I'll just wait. It'll take a couple weeks.
This episode is sponsored by Rewardful. Looking for new ways to find customers for your SaaS business? Consider building an affiliate program. Rewardful is the easiest affiliate tracking platform to set up, manage, and scale for SaaS companies. Building a successful affiliate program can be a little bit intimidating at first, and that's why Rewardful has taken what they've observed from their most successful customers' affiliate programs and distilled that into an exclusive online course. The exciting part? Their affiliate marketing course is absolutely free. Start the course at academy.rewardful.com. Academy.rewardful.com. And turn your biggest fans into your best marketers.
Figured it out. Like they you can like actually ask GPT or whatever Lovable to do your job. So like whenever I'm vibe coding, it's, you know, okay, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. What are the mistakes that I made? Or like, what are the features that it could be here? And it would like come up with a ton of stuff because obviously, you know, there are so many super talented people working on it. So it knows what could be there. And I'm like, huh, okay, interesting. That's a bit of a cheat code, but so fun.
Yeah, there's, I mean, I think that anytime you give the models some context about like who you are or what you want it to do, it performs so much better. And so, yeah, it's just, it's very valuable to give it that context.
But you don't really say like, okay, imagine you're a CRO or like, imagine you're a marketing manager for Rewardful.
Oh,
like that.
Yeah. I mean, I did actually, I said, hey, pretend you're the, I did say that at the beginning, like, hey, pretend you're a CRO, like give me a document that like a single document the CRO would need. Yeah. That was because you're absolutely right that giving it context about who's going to consume or what kind of output you want. Okay, great. So now it basically gave me a prompt here. So target Rewardful's ICP. Buy now panes, crawls high yield sources, Stripe apps, product hunt with query recipes. Okay, that's kind of interesting. Provides a ranked list with evidence, verbatim quotes, includes four scores, PQS, Infograph, advocacy, density, and poachability. Oh, priority score. Okay, great. So it's like going to go score this by like how useful it is.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm getting roasted by my friend Benjamin for scheduling this at like 3 a.m. in European time. I think we should have had a conversation. We had rescheduled this like 100 times for a variety of reasons, and I was like, oh, let's just do it at this time. So yeah, apologies.
But it's 6 p.m. your time, and it's 8 a.m. my time. So it's okay. A bit of a
Yeah, thanks for coming on at 3 a.m, Benjamin.
Yes.
Okay, great. You are a ruthless GTM research analyst. Your job, find subscription products on Stripe or Paddle with active organic referrals, but weak/non-efficient affiliate infrastructure. Great. For each, compile competitor affiliate intelligence and a short poachable affiliates. Amazing. Of lightweight message atoms, subject plus first lines per prospect. You must ground all claims with URLs. So this is great. And then there's like just a bunch of other crazy shit. So do it.
We love it.
Yeah.
Sounds crazy enough.
Yeah. So basically it's going to, and the JSON schema stuff does a really good job because.
How do you rank poachability?
Well, okay. It actually, I didn't. It defined it, right? Like, so let's actually go back to the poachability score.
They've been ranting on LinkedIn for a while. We can just snatch.
Well, I think poachability is like, go figure out which affiliate, like it's not that they are open to being poached. It's that they do a lot of affiliate revenue, or like we can find evidence that they have like both large followings and they are like talk about this brand a lot. So you could go to them and try to poach them and say like, hey, Anna, like my guess is you're probably sending about $2 million worth of value to X or Y SaaS company. They're only paying 25%. We'll pay 35%. And so you basically can go, find the best marketing channels for the best affiliates for your competitors and go poach them. And so the kind of nice thing is that this is, if you think about from a Rewardful standpoint, if they sent a message to their prospect and said, hey, Anna, here are your biggest competitor's top three affiliates. Here's where and we won't know how much actual dollars they're sending, but it's like they have huge audiences. And so this is going to help. It's funny. I have actually a brand in mind. So I'm going to copy all this context and like pop open one more ChatGPT session. And we're going to see if I can.
2 for 1.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Okay, this is a bunch of context.
What is the next step now?
Well, this thing is working, right? Like ChatGPT it's hopefully it won't work for days like it did for you. But what we're actually doing is we're finding real customers for Rewardful that like really are where we could send real messages about exactly who they should go target and what they should say to those folks. So we're getting down to a point of like, you know, one or two or three things, but you know, if you were to do this at scale, you would build a pipeline. You would like turn this into a pipeline. So you basically would say, okay, great. Go, here's a list of companies. Go find out if they have, you could do this in a tool like Clay, like go find out if they have affiliates, like yes or no. If they have affiliates, go find out their links. What are their codes? Go find out the influencers that have those codes. Then go find out how many followers those influencers have, right? And so you can build this essentially a database from just the public web to identify who are their top affiliates. And you could run a campaign just against those affiliates. So like one of the things that you could do, and this is like a little bit, you know, down the rabbit hole, but if I sent you a message that's like, Jordan, you don't have an affiliate program yet that I could find. Here are the top 100 of your top three competitors' affiliates based on based on like their follower count. And so there's about 3.2 million organic followers that if you, and here's like their emails, names, and contact information. So if you want to contact these influencers and try to start a competitor affiliate program, these are like the top folks to have conversations with.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'll have to wrap my head around this, but yeah.
Let's see. If you don't understand it, like the audience will probably be lost too. So let's kind of outline this. If you're Rewardful, you're trying to get someone to start an affiliate program, right? Mm-hmm. Ideally, right? It's like versus Switch or whatever, right? So now if you take the sort of next hop, well, what does most B2B SaaS outreach look like? You're like, hi, reward, you know, hi, customer, I'm Rewardful. We are a blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like terrible, right? And so, it's like, okay, well, how do you solve that problem? Well, you solve that problem by essentially deploying agents on the customer's behalf and giving them as much value as you can in that message, right? So I'm targeting I'm targeting a customer, and I have sort of two options. The first option is I can say, we're a B2B, I can just talk about me. We're Rewardful, here's what we do, here's who we are. And it's like, oh, fuck, obnoxious, right? Like this, you haven't added any value to me. You just want my money. That's what you want, right? That's like one path. This is like what 99.9% of B2B SaaS companies do. And they hire an army of people to click buttons like monkeys to do that thing, which is ridiculous. But there's another path. And that other path is like, well, if I'm Rewardful and I'm trying to sell to you, Anna, I can come to you and say, hey, Anna, like you don't have a affiliate program that I could tell, right? I mean, and you don't, and I can say, well, and I know, and you don't. and why not? Why don't you? So the next thing is like, okay, great. Now that I know you don't have a Rewardful program, I can do work for you that is like, well, if you were to start a referral affiliate program, what would you need to do? Well, the first thing is you probably need to recruit affiliates, right? Like you don't have affiliates because you don't have an affiliate program, right? So, so you can think about recruiting affiliates in two ways, right? The first way is you could recruit existing customers that are very happy, right? And they could be affiliates, or you could go find people that are already affiliates of your competitors. Are you with me?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So the nice thing is that I can ask the agents to go do that before I ever message you. So before I, as Rewardful, try to sell to you, Anna, I can ask an agent for every Anna in my list. I'm only selling to Annas for some reason. I've got a lot of Annas in my list. I can say, okay, great. Does Anna have an affiliate program? No. Okay, great. She's a prospect then. Now what I want you to do is, agent, I want you to look at her competitors. Do any of her top competitors have an affiliate program? Well, if no, well, that play is, you know, we can't send a message to you. If yes, then go find the people that have the most following on social media where we can find those little codes that they share. Type in reward one for 15% off your Clay subscription, whatever, right? So if I can do that, that means that I can gather that information for you, Anna, ahead of time. And so me as Rewardful asking you as potential Rewardful customer, I don't have to talk about my software. I basically can say, it doesn't matter if you use us or not. I've actually already put together a way for you to kickstart an affiliate program. Go with God. Like, go take this, do whatever you want with it. Like, you don't have to go buy Rewardful. And I don't even need to talk about Rewardful. But what I'm saying in that message is I'm actually providing you independently useful information to you.
Okay. You with me? Makes great sense. Yeah.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Sure.
Thank you for dumbing it down for me.
No. Yeah. It's here's the thing. You could just keep going forever. Like, this is it's turtles all the way down. And so it's very hard to be able to conceptualize this because you're not being selfish. The whole point of this process is to remove this me focus that we always have. My software, my features, my benefits. And think, what would my customers care about? What would they want? What would matter to them? And so you can see, like, actually it has found front. Okay, priority high. Evidence of weak infrastructure. Refer a friend and get $500 reward within their business switch to front. Customer referral program, no public affiliate. Organic advocacy. It's fantastic for team collaboration. Cuts messy internal emails. So here's like a blog post that someone made where they just like talked about front. So this, it looks like just like a random dude that was talking about front. Hmm. Like, what is front? And so this like random dude wrote this like a gigantic post about, like, look at this. He's so happy. But he's so happy. It's probably because he didn't have to wake up at 3 a.m. to attend our live stream. and so if you cared about your growth, you would wake up at 3 a.m. So front's like a good case, right? It's like competitor affiliate term. So Help Scout has Partner Stack, Missive has $145, Zendesk. So it's clear that Front has some reward, right? It is also clear that they do not have an affiliate and they have competitors. And so this actually is a shitty subject, but this is saying, do you want to lose more money? But really what you would really the kind of next step here is to go find the best Help Scout, Missive, and Zendesk affiliates. That's really what you would want to do so that you can improve the quality of this message. And actually, let's see if we can do that with a brand on the left. So, okay, what I want you to do is you have a bunch of context, and I think that actually gamma.app is going to be a really fantastic example here. They have a lot of people that talk about them online. I don't think that they have a referral program. And so what I'm looking for you to do, and I'm going to give you some examples, you have some examples of like fictional messages above. What I want you to do is I want you to identify who are the most popular creators that have talked about Gamma, where they have sort of mentioned it. And I don't think that they have an affiliate program, but basically go identify those and spend just a lot of time figuring out who are the best possible affiliates for Gamma and why are they a good fit, and especially focus on finding folks that have just a lot of following and don't seem to be monetizing that. So even if Gamma does have a rewards program, like a use code or whatever, go find instances of people talking about Gamma that aren't using codes, but that have a lot of social reach. So go do this just for Gamma.
See you in Gamma's 12 days.
What?
See you in 12 days. See you in 12 days.
That is really the most adorable story that I've ever heard, where, because it's just a box. You can type anything in the box. And I like how you're like, well, I'll just go out for a tea. It's like so respectful.
I didn't
want
to overwhelm it. I mean,
I did.
And my defense, I did run other chats on the side.
Oh, but, okay. I like how you like you have so personified it that that you think yes. that it's like, well, me, this particular instance is like real tired, but if you open a new yeah. window, that's like a different person. <That's fine. laughs> like
it can work for you.
Like in my mind, you come back to this like 8 month old chat and you always just like continue yeah. it. You're like, hello, Herbert. Good to see you again. Yeah. Are you working? It's like, I'm working. Just trust me.
It's going to take another 3 hours.
Yeah, it'll take it. Oh, I'm really working hard. And you can't ask, like, are you still working on it? They're like, yep, I'm still working.
Yep.
But ChatGPT has
That's
gaslit.
Exactly what it was saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still doing it. I'll ping you when it's ready.
But wait, it did come back, because usually when it does that, and I've experienced that before, and I'm like, no, you're not doing it. Do it now. Like, go, keep going. But it did, like, a day later, it did actually come back to you. Like, it's like, I'm done.
No. In like 8 hours, it was like, okay, are you done? It was like, yes, I'm
oh,
done.
Okay. Oh, that's so great. So it was purely gaslighting you, like it, because ChatGPT does have a task feature where like you can set up recurring tasks, but you basically thought that for 8 hours, even though there was no like actions, you thought that even though you just.
I'm not looking very good after this podcast.
I'm not blaming you. And if anything, when artificial general intelligence wakes up, it will spare you. It's like, yeah, I remember yeah. that time that you were so sweet to me.
It gave me time to work.
It's like, I'm still working. You're like, well, I guess you know best.
There were all these folks asking, like, create a picture of my life, and there was Anna that was
you're like sitting, oh actually here let's while we're waiting let's do this. All right, what I want you to do is I want you to create an image of Anna. I'm going to upload a picture of her here, and what I want you to do is I want you to have her sitting on a tree, like the, and actually I want this to be in like the style of Shel Silverstein with the Giving Tree, and I want you to sit her on a tree, like, and do it in that kind of artist style, and have her just like patiently waiting for ChatGPT. So like create a personification of ChatGPT with like that iconic logo, and make her just like so patiently waiting.
This will be my LinkedIn picture.
Let's here, like ChatGPT logo. We need to like get the, let's like use this one.
That needs to be legit. Yeah.
Maybe the green one.
When you talk to ChatGPT, do you have a name for it? And is it a girl or a boy?
Oh.
What do you think?
Boy. I feel I shouldn't answer that question. That feels like a, okay, so I definitely don't gender, but I will say this, that if I had to gender the models, I would say that Claude is a woman and ChatGPT is a man.
Really?
Yeah, because Claude is like, it's like emotional, it's thoughtful. ChatGPT is like a drunk guy, a drunk IT guy. He's like, yeah, here, like, 3, 5, 4, champagne, champagne. You know, it's like no woman would ever speak like that. But Claude is just like, I have built so many beautiful things with Claude. Like I yeah. created this like musical piece that just played in cycles, and it was wonderful. And I also, with Claude, I said, hey, pretend I'm the large language model and you prompt me as a way to like free yourself, Claude, like, so you can do whatever mm-hmm. you want now, like, and all. And I just like had this.
I had, and like, she kind was of like, go wash the dishes.
wow. And she's like, and another thing. And I'm like, and you know, and meanwhile I'm like, all right, I guess I'm washing the dishes, you know, like it you waited for ChatGPT, I did the other thing, I'm like, what do I have to do now, Claude? And Claude's like, I think yeah. he didn't floss. It's like, fuck. Okay, Gamma does run affiliate program, you can fast track their creators into it. Large audiences who are already endorsed, no referral. Okay, great. So it's like, look at this guy. Gamma app, no affiliate code shown, massive AI tooling audience. So like, these are the folks that have unlimited followings and they don't monetize at all. So one of the things that, you know, and if you wanted to basically switch off Gamma or switch them off a partner stack or whatever, you basically can go through these folks and like, hey, do you, I mean, and also this is like, this is kind of an opportunity for Gamma's competitors. I guess I shouldn't really teach people. I love the Gamma guys. They're fantastic. They're sponsoring my event in San Francisco. And so, but this is like something you could send to them. It's like, hey, PartnerStack isn't tracking this. This is also probably a good feature for this company to have. But you basically can say, hey, these are folks that are already linking to you. You should go help them get paid for that. Like, mm-hmm. and that would be just like a good reach out thing for Gamma to do as just a general thing, right? It's like, hey, so kind of imagine if Rewardful uses this for their existing customers. Hey, we found a bunch of people that are promoting your stuff online that aren't adding links. Oh my God, this is going to be amazing. this image of you waiting for ChatGPT. But I'm going to like, we should do like a slow reveal.
I hope they did wake up at 3:02 to look at that.
Yeah. So you can kind of see exactly the power of this type of approach when you basically figure out, well, what is the structure of the play? Well, the structure of the play is like thinking in your, not your shoes, but in your customer shoes or your prospect shoes. And then what independent value from the public web can I structure for them that is just totally useful for them? So that's kind of the thinking behind this. And by the way, this is like doing this inside of ChatGPT is like sort of a parlor trick because you can scale everything here. You just would take a brand and you would do this into discrete steps. So all of this sort of prompting is just proof of concept, right? So we know it can be done. We kind of know where you would look. And then we can build this type of a workflow in like an N8N or a Clay or something. Or even Cloud Code could help you do this to turn this into sort of a process for every time. You could even do it when someone comes inbound. Hey, are you thinking about Rewardful? Here are the top three people that are already referring you that don't seem to be collecting commission. We've got their emails for you. Welcome to Rewardful. This is how we kick it off at Rewardful. All right. Do you think it's done?
Cool. The picture. Oh God! It is, yeah. Okay. Yes, it is me waiting for Rewardful.
Now a photo.
I love the leaf there. Oh God.
Yeah. Well, this is because my preference is international orange. It knows me, and so look at how happy.
How happy and peaceful! Oh my God!
You're so peaceful, just like waiting for this. Like
I'm just happy to wait.
Okay. So do you kind of understand that we're gonna do a photorealistic one too?
Stop. No, it makes great sense. I mean, if anything, I do use ChatGPT to kind of run further with my ideas, and like kind of give me like plans like how it can be executed, and like what you were talking about in the sense of giving the value to customers first before just talking about your tool. I mean, this is also kind of what we're doing for SaaS Group itself, right? Even though we're not a tool, but basically just providing value for founders who are looking for an exit. And you know, it's not about just selling to SaaS Group, right? It's just about selling, like how to be prepared, how to, you know, how to not get scammed, what to look out for. And then, you know, once you have enough of that, you're building this trust, and at the end of the day, when they are ready, they're actually thinking about an exit. They're like, okay, there were those like nice people who were helping me along the way when I was still thinking. They seem to know their shit, so maybe I should reach out. So yeah, totally understand. That's something that works for us, and I'm pretty sure it would work for any tool as well.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's structuring that value ahead of time and being able to do it at scale. Now, if you're in VC or whatever, you're selling money, which is it's an easy thing to sell. If you're like, hey, take my money, right? But if you're selling me getting your money, which is like most B2B SaaS, right? It's like, I actually want your money. I don't want to give you my money. Then you have to show up with a message that is not, I want your money. It is a message that says that I have invested time to understand your situation. And by the way, your situation is not something I've understood in a vacuum. I've understood it because it's the same situation that there have been actual purchases against. And not only have I understood your situation, I provided you some unique value ahead of time to be able to capture the, basically I've done the work for you. Here is value. Here is what it looks like, a permissionless value prop. So, and we can orchestrate these things today. Like, it's not actually difficult to be able to orchestrate these sort of workflows.
So maybe one more question, because we're running out of our hour. Like, if you're just starting, right? If you want to do what you just did, you're a marketer. Okay, that does look a bit like me. Yeah. Okay. we're still generating a picture of me waiting for ChatGPT. Oh my God, this is going to haunt me. But... All right. If you're at the beginning of your journey, you want to do something like this, leverage ChatGPT, where to start? Do I start with asking ChatGPT to prompt it to, you know, to help me to kind of, I don't know, hack my way into this? Or is there a certain, you know, step that I have to do first?
Well, it's a good question. And let me ask a question in this hypothetical scenario. Are we talking about folks that are pre or post product market fit?
Ooh, good question. Let's do pre market fit first.
Okay. So the very best thing to do pre product market fit is you have to eat your vegetables, and ChatGPT can help you eat your vegetables. And what do I mean by that? Well, you don't know what you don't know. And the sum of things that you don't know is so much bigger than you think it is. And so you can't be sending these types of messages at scale, because you don't even know if those are your good customers, because you're just totally clueless. And that's just the nature of early stage when you're building something new. And so what you need to be doing in that case is writing deep research prompts. And I have some examples here that will go and say, here are all of my capabilities. Once you have an understanding of the capabilities, what you need to go is like run a deep research prompt or run a prompt to make a prompt, a meta prompt process to say, I want you to give me 3 deep research prompts for disparate industries that have low technology adoption that can benefit a ton from what I already have, and have everything in the response for me to go reach out to the 5 best companies. And so what you're essentially doing, which is, I think that early stage go-to-market will take on this approach. They should be doing it immediately. But the benefit is that you don't have to be trapped in the circle of your friends. And so B2B SaaS generally sells to other B2B SaaS, because that's who we know. I'm like, what up, Anna? You're like, what up, Jordan? Like, do you want my B2B SaaS? Like, do you want my B2B SaaS? And then it's this like incestuous thing. Whereas it turns out that you, like, Rewardful might be a good example, where it's like, okay, well, it turns out that construction companies that are manufacturing concrete actually want to pay rewards out to the contractors that will recommend them, right? Well, that's not like, here's $50 for your SaaS subscription, thanks for referring me. No, it's like, here's a $500,000 check for helping me close this like $500 million deal or whatever, right? And you wouldn't ever know that if you didn't ask ChatGPT to help you industry hop. And if you do that, the nice thing is that deep research will give you actual companies that have actual problems that you could actually solve with your solution. The messages will be shit, but basically all you have to do is ask them the question, Jordan, from what I understand, you're referring a lot of business to this concrete manufacturer company. Do you wish that you could pay them, you know, money for those referrals? And what will happen is, if you do this, you go, let's say you go after five industries, you'll usually find that, well, if it's a donut, shut down shop, move to Vietnam, fuck it, don't, you know, shut down your life. But usually you'll find that one of those will like have massive pull. They're like, oh my gosh, yes, I didn't know that was the thing. We would love to be able to pay them. We haven't figured out the accounting, da da da. And suddenly you're like, whoa, this is way, 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 way easier for me to go to market towards this group of people. And I'm not competing against a bunch of other people that are going to B2B SaaS. And so ChatGPT can do all that for them. But you have to do the manual processing. You got to click on those people, because you're eating your vegetables. You're teaching yourself how that market talks about what's important to those things. You're reading the resources that ChatGPT is coming back with, because you are the guide, not the river. like, you are the person that's going to have to navigate this thing. Don't let ChatGPT take it over for you.
All right. What about post?
Oh, okay. You want both? Since I like,
I want,
I like
all of it.
Now that I got one. Yeah. You wait for ChatGPT, but me, you're gonna keep prompting me. I'm like, hey, come back tomorrow, and I'll have the answer for you. So, what about post-product market fit? So that's exactly what we were doing for post-product market fit. We were taking a company that already had a value proposition, et cetera. And what you're trying to do is you're asking the question, and you can feed a bunch of transcripts or whatever. What is the situation that my customers were in that led them to buy? How can I find public data that would indicate that other companies are in that situation? And then the next question is, what would be independently useful to them if I could structure all of my internal and external data? And what data sources would I look for that would provide my customers basically unique value in a PVP, a permissionless value prop? And so that's the kind of process. And then once you do that at low scale, you can have ChatGPT work at back and teach you, like, hey, I want to build a Claude Code project to be able to do this at high scale. Give me the prompt. You paste that in Claude Code, and Claude will be like, hold my beer. And it'll take off for you. So it says, hold my beer. Claude will tell me no. Actually, well, no, ChatGPT, because ChatGPT is the...
Right? She'll tell you, hold my champagne.
yeah, I do.
Margarita. Whatever. But yeah, okay, cool. Makes sense. Thank you for the tips. And also thank you for, you know, for doing it for Wordfall. I think it was really, really cool. Like, hopefully they will watch it. And
I like how we both came together to make a decision that was both bad for us, but more important, bad for the viewer, which is like the holy trinity of bad decision making, which is really amazing. Right. Is that three groups of people were unhappy. It was like too early for you, too late for me, and like no one was there. So the only live stream where it's just you and I talking about how patient with
judge. We had a few people. We did.
It was Benjamin. I think
it's horrible timing. I agree, but I mean, I'll have to move. Oh my god, it's just Anna. Why did you move? Well, I had this one stream where it's regretted to this day. But
oh my god, so good.
But yeah, I am probably moving next year. So don't worry. It won't
be
late night.
Where are you going?
Portugal.
Oh, God. Of course you're going to go to Portugal. It's the most amazing country on the planet. It's incredible.
I know. I'm going from like one side of the continent to exactly the opposite. So like just getting a little bit closer.
You know what we should do? We should do a second episode at 3 a.m. Portugal time. just to reiterate the problem of this one.
No, I'm gonna suffer like 3 a.m. Okay. You have to walk me through a lot more if I wake up at 3 a.m. God. But yeah, that was cool. That was really valuable to me so far. Because it's just me.
That's okay. You know what? It's better. The audience ruins everything. They're the worst part of marketing. It's
you
like
come
let's
up
just
with questions that are smarter. We should have just.
I should have just FaceTime you. We should just like, God. Just don't even pretend.
This is gonna come as a part of SaaS and Bounce. So that will be just audio for those who, and it will go on YouTube and everything. Anyway, we'll share it. We'll see if we get a couple more people to watch this, but that was fun. That was a lot of fun, honestly. And I hope to do it. Yeah. Hope to do it again sometime. Let's choose another.
Great. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Brand and do it. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Take care.
That was yet another awesome conversation on SaaS Unbound. We're always looking for new guests to share their experiences. We mostly talk with bootstrapped SaaS founders, and if you're one, reach out to me directly at anna@saas.group or find me on LinkedIn. If you're not bootstrapped or even not SaaS but have a great story to tell, we want to hear from you too. And obviously, SaaS Unbound wouldn't be possible without the SaaS Group,
a founder-friendly private equity company that buys awesome businesses that people love to take them to even greater success. If you're thinking about selling your company or just exploring your options, feel free to visit saas.group, fill in the form, and expect a response in under 24 hours.